There's only two sessions left. One is in the choir room. If you've already done that one, it's going to be the same thing. So you might as well be in here. Or if you really don't want to listen to me, I guess go home. But let's go ahead and get started. I've been given this particular task of talking about emotive worship. That could go a lot of different directions, but we'll just see where it goes, where it leads us. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to do that. Disagreements, that's okay too. But the scripture does say, and usually when we think of, emotive worship, somehow we sing, we think of singing, I think. Does it always have to be singing? I don't think so. But the scripture does say, come and let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. That's from Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Well, before we begin this journey, let's pray. Father God, we do come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you and praising you for how great you are. So, Lord, lead and guide us, lead and guide me, lead and guide us as we look at your scriptures, at your word, and what it says about worship and about singing and about music. And Lord, teach us to worship you the way that you want us to, the way that you deserve. Amen. So what is, I don't even know what emotive worship is that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to just talk about why should we sing, since I am the music leader here. Why should we sing? Anybody got any ideas on why we should sing? God says to. Okay, prove it. Okay. Ephesians 5, 18 and 20, maybe. If anybody has that before I do, but feel free to. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So, yeah, it sounds like a command right there. Those are things we should do. Paul is telling the local church there, the believers in Ephesus, that they should sing to one another. Making melody with your heart to the Lord. So, yeah, we're commanded to sing. Any other reasons why we should sing? I mean, that's a pretty good one right there, that we're commanded to do it. Any other ideas? Yes, Dennis?
We're commanded to do it.
We're commanded to do it. Okay, you have another reference?
As a matter of fact,
he's got some in his notes. Psalm 100.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Okay.
Is that singing?
Make a joyful noise. Not necessarily. Does it have to be singing?
Psalm 94. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Okay. That's pretty specific right there, that verse was. Okay, good.
Psalm 100. Come into his presence with singing.
Okay.
Psalm 101, I will sing of steadfast love and justice.
There you go. Very good. Any other thoughts or ideas or about why we sing? Well, yeah, we sure. And right there, just in Ephesians, Paul telling the or commanding the church to sing. So very good. What are some other examples? I guess I'm going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. Well, I'll start at 20. I'll start at 19. Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. So that's got to be music right there. It doesn't say more than that, but there must have been music as far back as then. And then I want to go to Exodus 15. Unless somebody else has can say otherwise, I think that's the first recorded song in the Scriptures, Exodus 15. Anybody familiar with Exodus 15 and why they were singing there? Why somebody sang there? Anyone? There you go. They had just crossed the Red Sea. I mean, the sea was divided. They just came through. And yes, when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, I'm on 14:31 here, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. So did they already know that song? I don't think so. That the song was created right there. They made up that song. They praised because of what they saw the Lord do. They praised God. So they made a song. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider. He is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him. And goes on and on. Pretty long song. I don't know exactly what tune they sang that to, none of us know. But because of what they saw the Lord do, they praised God. They sang. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song. I don't know. I don't know if they were good singers. Doesn't say. Maybe some of them thought. Maybe some of them had the attitude of, I'm just not a good singer. I don't think they were worried about it. They sang to the Lord. Because of what the Lord had done, what they saw. So should we even worry about the question, can I sing? Should I sing? I'm not a good singer. I don't have a good voice. Should we even be worried about that? I don't think so. I know sometimes we are, but we should sing out because of what the Lord has done. And with that comes emotions. I'm pretty sure. Doesn't really say anything about emotions here, but I think we can see it. They saw what the Lord did, and they praised the Lord. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he is cast into the sea. They basically tell the story of it. I think that shows emotion. And they're worshiping God. They're praising God. So praising God does, as Tommy said, it does involve our emotions. Now, we don't want to get carried away with our emotions. But we definitely don't want to, push them to the side so that we're, I mean, they're excited here. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Any other examples you can think of? I'm going to give us some more just from the scripture. But if you can come up with some, I'll let you participate here. We're just going to go through some of the examples of scripture just to see. And what we can learn from it, what we can glean from it. How about 1 Chronicles 15? Go to 1 Chronicles 15 if you have your Bible. Starting in verse 27. Yeah, let's start at verse 25. So it was David with the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands who went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. So they're finally going to take the Ark back. Been with the Philistines for a while and then in the house of Obed-Edom, and now they're going up to take it back to Jerusalem, I believe. Because God was helping the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. Now David was clothed with a robe of fine linen with all the Levites who were carrying the Ark and the singers. So apparently they did have singers. That was their specific thing that they did. And Shemaiah, the leader of the singing with the singers, David also wore an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting. So shouting. How would we feel about shouting in our services? Well, this is not talking about a service. I know this is not specifically talking about a worship service, but they were shouting, and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets, with loud sounding cymbals, with harps and lyres. That's a lot of music right there. And loud sounding. Do you think that stirs up some emotions? Music? I think it probably did. And it happened when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and celebrating, and she despised him in her heart. So they were pretty happy there. Lots of music, lots of singing, shouting, playing trumpets, cymbals, harps, lyres. That's a lot of music. Now, I know that that's not... It's not a scripture that we should look at to prescribe our congregational worship, but it's just it is something to look at as we talk about music and worship and singing and all of those things. Any questions or comments there? How about 1 Chronicles 16, starting at verse 4? He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, then Jael, Shemaromoth, Jehiel, Mattatiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jael with musical instruments, harps, lyres. Also Asaph played loud-sounding cymbals. And Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priest, blew trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. And so then we have a psalm right there in 1 Chronicles. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. What's the object of the song right there? I mean, of course, it's praising God. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders, glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually. So, again, they're praising God because of who He is and what He has done. Remember the first song, Exodus, not because Moses was so great and and the people were so great. It's because God was so great. And here, not because David was so great, but it was because the Lord is so great. They're praising God. So, again, I think as Christians, we should keep that in mind as a principle. We're here to praise God and to exalt Him and glorify Him and honor Him, not because we are so great. So, again, we're just walking through some of the scriptures here on this. And I think there's emotion in that. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. That's verse 29 right there. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before Him, all the earth. I mean, you can't read that without seeing emotion that they had, that those people had. And I think sometimes in some ways we maybe, I don't know, I can't speak for you. But I think in some ways I tend to sometimes quell my own emotion sometimes because maybe we're afraid to show too much emotion. I'm not sure. I know that is the case for me. I want to be sometimes I'm so careful of it that I quell my own emotion. So now it looks like we're almost somber and serious and there's no joy. Because we want to be so careful. I think sometimes we can do that. And, I think, just know that we need to be careful of doing that. And it's okay to be joyous and thankful and praising God. Questions or comments there? If not, we'll keep going. Let's go to the Psalms. We're going to read all 157. No, okay. Just kidding. I've just chosen Psalm 98. I know Dennis referenced Psalm 98 as well, but I'm just going to read through one psalm. There's 150 of them, and all of these are songs that were sung or shouted. I don't know exactly how all of them were done, but did these people know these psalms? Well, I think the people of the New Testament knew these songs, of course, after they were written down, right? But at the time, David and Asaph and whoever else was writing some of the Psalms, they were just pouring out their hearts to God. Yes?
I remember reading in my archaeological Bible.
Okay.
That, some of the Psalms were specifically sung when they climbed
up. Right. The Song of Ascents. Yep. Good. So some of them they were singing as they traveled, as they journeyed along the road to Jerusalem. Yep. So, yeah. Very good. Psalm 98. I'm just going to read this psalm here. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. Again, that theme, that same thing, because God is so great. They're singing. It has caused them to praise God. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, the peoples with equity. I mean, that's just one of many psalms. There are 150 of them. And again, just pouring out our hearts to the Lord. So there is emotion in worship and music. I wanted to point out let's see here. Let's go to Judges chapter 5. Got to backtrack just a little bit on that one. Judges 5. Another song by Deborah. Who was Deborah? She was a judge, right? Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, and then there's this whole song of how God delivered them. Some of it's very graphic stuff, but it is a song. Is there emotion in that? I see lots of exclamatory marks. That the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. Again, just praising God, telling the story. So another example, I'd like to show, and I don't, I'm reading between the lines on this one, maybe quite a bit, but let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. If I read between the lines too much, you keep me honest. But here's Daniel chapter 3, when Nebuchadnezzar wants everyone to bow down and worship his image. I think he's playing on people's emotions as well. I mean, I think he is. Maybe you don't. But what does he have going on as he asks people to bow down and worship? Let's read this carefully. Then the herald, I'm in chapter 3, Daniel 3, verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship this golden image." I think Nebuchadnezzar knows what he's doing. I think he's playing on people's emotions. He wants people to bow down and worship his image. Because I think he knows that music will affect people. I mean, music affects us. We have to be honest with ourselves in that. Whether good or bad, music affects us. Some of us will, correct me if I'm wrong, but some of us sometimes will go into a room by ourselves and listen to ballads or sort of slow, soft music on purpose because we want to be sad. You ever done that? You do it on purpose. Because you want to be sad. And you know that music is going to affect you. Brings out those emotions. And some of you may, when I was a senior in high school, for some reason, my basketball teammates would play this one specific song in order that our basketball team would get fired up for this game. And they thought that this one particular song would fire us all up and get us ready. So they would play it before every game in the locker room. I'm not going to tell you what it is. No. Anyway, but they thought that this song was, I mean, it was the end all be all to get us fired up for this game. And so, I mean, music does affect us. We have to be honest, I believe, with that. And so it's okay for music to affect us. I guess what I'm getting at is it's okay, especially if we're for honoring and praising God through that. So don't be afraid to sing out and to make a joyful noise, even if you think you're not a great singer. I mean, believe me, your music leader most Sundays is not a great singer. But I enjoy it, and I enjoy to praise God. But I also struggle with sometimes those emotions. Sometimes I told you, I quell them sometimes, and that kind of seems somber and serious and not so joyful. And so I've got to be careful with that. And maybe all of us at this church need to be careful with that. Maybe someone who came in and raised their hands and did some things like that would be good for us. I don't know. Just some thoughts, rambling thoughts. But how about Joshua when he went to Jericho? What was happening then? Joshua chapter 6. Not necessarily singing, but it is a form of music. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 8. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. So they were blowing those trumpets. And I think music was a very important part of armies and battles, I think all the way up till the Civil War, at least. I'm not sure if it was in the world, when it came to the more modern wars, world wars, I'm not sure if they actually hired people to do music, but I know they did in the Civil War. Anybody have anything on that? I mean, music affects people and it has an effect. And so music was very important, even in battles and in armies. And we see that right there in Joshua. Judges, how about Gideon? When they surrounded the Midianites, they sounded the trumpets and broke the glasses of the pitchers with the fire in them. Yes, they broke them and sounded the horn, and the Midianites killed themselves. Basically, they went frantic and crazy. I think the blowing of those horns and all that, I mean, had an effect on them. Emotionally, spiritually, they didn't know what was going on. And so that's how the Lord gave the Israelites that victory. So, again, just the idea that music does have an effect on us, it's our emotions. Do we need to be careful of that? Yes, of course. But there's a good balance that we need. Let's move to how about Saul? Did music affect Saul? So much that he hired David to play for him. Whenever he had an evil spirit, he wanted to feel better. So David played for him and he would feel better. So just another example of music having an effect on us. How about Acts chapter 16? This is a New Testament. There's not a whole lot of New Testament examples, unless you can find more for me, of music and emotions and those kind of things. I mean, unless we go to Revelation, we see quite a few. But Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Don't really know exactly what those hymns of praise were. Maybe some of them were psalms or doesn't exactly say. That's the thing about the New Testament. It doesn't say hymns and songs and spiritual songs what exactly they are. But we know that they're praising God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there came a great earthquake. The foundation shook. The jailer awoke, saw the prison doors open. Of course, he thinks they're all gone. He's about to kill themselves. And then he asks Paul and Silas. Why is he asking Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? I'm assuming in here that he heard them praying and singing to God. So those songs had an effect, even on an unbeliever. And the unbeliever says, what must I do to be saved? So I guess that should encourage us to sing in a way, to worship in a way, that if we do have an unbeliever in our midst, in our presence, that hopefully it would have an effect on them. They would think to themselves, man, these people worship God. They love God. They are singing out to God. The words of the songs may have an effect. The actual music might have an effect. But hopefully seeing the people of God, professed believers, worshiping God would have an effect on them. And they would say, man, that's something I want. I want to, what must I do to be saved? So, just an encouragement to all of us in that way, that we would be worshiping in a way that because of how we feel about God, and we love God, and we want to honor Him and fear Him and worship Him, that we do. And it's real. And people would see that. And praise and glorify our Father in heaven. Revelation 14 is my last reference that I have here. And of course, this is not an exhaustive list of worship and music. But Revelation 14, verses 2 and 3. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of a loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Wow. I'd like to know that song, but I guess we can't know that. And how about Revelation 15, 2, 3, and 4? And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image, and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Again, what's the focus of the song? Worshiping and glorifying our God. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. There's a tract that I've read once that talked about the worship of God. And if you really do not enjoy worshiping God, and of course, I know people show emotions in different ways. I'm not asking us to hoot and holler. And we all show emotion in different ways. But if this worship really doesn't grab our hearts, if we do not worship here, what would make us think that we would enjoy worshiping God for eternity in heaven? What would make us think that we're even going to be there? Maybe we're fooling ourselves. If we do not enjoy worshiping God here, if we cannot find joy in it because of what our God has done, because of who our God is and what He has done and what He has done for us, if that does not affect us, what makes us think that we would enjoy Him, even be with Him and enjoy Him forever? It's a good question, I think, for all of us. So, just a reminder that We should worship our God because He is so great. And as Corey said, because of who He is and what He has done, it should just bring out of us doxology. Just naturally. We should enjoy singing. And if you want, I'll tell you, if you want a good experience of worshiping God through song, if you would like to have a good experience, then you need to be with the children on Wednesday nights. Because they sing out up in that room up here upstairs. It's beautiful. And as Tommy said, some of our children know more of the hymns than we do. And just because we've made it a practice for them to pick songs and we sing them, for 20 to 30 minutes on those Wednesday nights. And I think that will have an effect on our children. I hope it does. They'll remember those songs. Sometimes they'll remember those songs more than the questions, and maybe sometimes even more than Scripture. But they will remember, I hope, and I hope the Lord will use that in their lives. So, any questions or comments? I don't know if you have any questions, please ask. I just wanted to walk through the Scriptures and show us some of those things, some of those examples. Did Jesus sing? That's a good question. Did Jesus sing? Any references that would prove Jesus sang? Okay. Reading, we would have to read between the lines a little bit right there, right? Okay. How about Matthew 26? I don't think it says specifically that he sang, but let's look at Matthew 26. After the Lord's Supper. Verse 29 and then I'll end to verse 30. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I am assuming that Jesus sang with his disciples there. So that's the only reference I could find. Well, unless you want to count some of the things he said while he was on the cross, were directly from the Psalms, which would have been songs. Don't know if he said them or sang them, I guess. More than likely, he probably said them, but they were songs that he probably would have learned as he was growing up. As you said, as you referred to him growing up as a child, I would assume that these were things that he learned. He learned the Psalms as he was growing up, so he quoted some of them as he was on the cross. So, practical ideas for singing. Anybody want any of, I mean, even if you feel you can't sing or you're not good at it, I really encourage you, especially parents, sing in your home. Sing in your home. It's great. Teach your children to sing in your home. Because, I mean, to me, they'll look forward. I mean, that's part of the things we look forward to as we come here together. I look forward to singing together with all of you. And as I've told some of you before, it's hard for me sometimes to look out and see you singing because it's very emotional for me. I'm trying to do better at looking out and seeing all of you worship, but sometimes it's hard for me to do that because, as you know, sometimes I get emotional. But I enjoy those times, actually, because then when I stop singing, I can actually hear all of you praising God. And it's It's wonderful. It's incredible. So I enjoy praising with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's great. One of my favorite memories is I had a Bible class at Bay Area Christian School, and I taught only boys. I mean, these are juniors and seniors, boys, and we went back to the back room because that particular church did not use their hymnals anymore. Everything was on the screen. So there's all these hymnals piled up in the back room. So I went and got all those hymnals, and I used them as my Bible textbook. The first 10 to 15 minutes of class, there's these boys, and I would just let them pick songs, and we would sing through them a cappella. And pretty incredible when some of them come back years later and say that's what they remembered. Singing songs about our God. Music has an effect on us. And it should. God intended it for that. And so let us remember that and encourage each other with that. Any other comments, questions? I don't know where, if I've gone the right way on this particular session, but that's where I've gone with it. So, but if you have any other specific questions, we can go there. I've got, if you are fortunate enough to, or I don't know, I guess Corey already gave out the books, but this little book, Sing, by Kristen and Keith Getty, was an excellent book on singing. I think would be a great book for our whole congregation to read through. Kind of talks about some of the things we talked about today and why we sing and those kind of things. So if there are no questions, then we can pray and be done today. I'm just making sure I did everything we want. Let's pray. Father God, we do come to you once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you and praising you for who you are, most holy God, and what you've done. What you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to teach us and just cause those things to make us sing out to you, to praise your name, to worship you the way you should be worshiped. So keep teaching us as a congregation to do that so that unbelievers would see that it's real. And that they would ask us, what must I do to be saved? So Lord, help us and teach us.